The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes open?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he see now?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. What was the name of the pool in which the blind man washed?
Siloam.
Siloam is one of two pools that were in ancient Jerusalem. The other one, anybody remember the name of the other one? There was a man who was healed there. Bethesda. So we have the pool of Bethesda and the pool of Siloam. These were healing pools. And it's interesting, they were rediscovered in Jerusalem about 125 years ago. They came upon them. And currently, in both pools, they're digging them out so that people could see what they were like 2,000 years ago. They were quite big. The one of them is right outside the old walls, and the other one is within the old city. But they had two pools where people could go to be healed. And what a wonderful thing to have. I mean, here we have a blind man who gets his sight back. We have the lame man. He didn't go into the pool. He didn't need to because Jesus healed him. And yet we have these healings happening. Now, a question. Do we have our own pool of Siloam? Where is it? No?
We pray and ask for forgiveness.
It's a real pool.
Oh.
A real pool. The baptismal font. That's our pool of Siloam. It's right here in our church building. Right here. Now, the irony, of course, is there's no water in it. You know, we got the memo from the bishop. Don't put water in there because of COVID. Well, they didn't get the memo 2,000 years ago. You know, they didn't close the pools and empty them. And there was always disease around. So here we are 2,000 years later, and we have no water in our pool of Siloam. But this is our pool of Siloam. It's our pool of healing. And it is the pool of great healing because that's where we celebrate baptism. And people come to baptism to be healed of the sin of Adam and Eve and to become a new creation. And in a sense, when we come to baptism, we are dark. We are darkness. And then after baptism, we are light in the Lord. So we too are cured of our blindness in that sense. And we enter into this amazing relationship with God. Now, if you said to people, talked about this story this coming week, maybe it's a good way to get a conversation going. You know, this week, the story was about the man who bathed in the pool of Siloam and got his light back. And do you know we have our own pool of Siloam at St. Mary Ann Cope Parish? They'd probably be coming over here, right? They'd want to know about it. And that's what's supposed to be happening. We're supposed to tell other people, yeah, we've got the pool of Siloam here. And Jesus, of course, was not interested just in the spiritual healing of people. He was also interested in their physical healing. So, you know, it wasn't just spiritual, it was also physical. And he wanted people to thrive in every way, shape, or form. And he didn't have an office and there wasn't a line of people each day asking to come in. He went out where the people were. So he went out in Jerusalem and encountered these people, people who were spiritually sick, who were possessed by a demon, or people who needed a physical healing. And then he didn't depend just on the pools, although he recognized the power of bathing in Bethesda and Siloam, but he also recognized that he had the power of healing. And as I've said before, we too have those powers from the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to heal people, to physically heal people. And it's up to us to find out what our charisms are, our gifts are from the Spirit, so that we can do what Jesus did. We're supposed to be doing exactly what he did. not something different, or, you know, it's 2,000 years later, we don't do it that way. No, that's not what it's all about. It's about doing what Jesus did, continuing to bring people to the healing pool here, the baptismal font, so they can be members of the body of Christ. But also, we're supposed to be going out to people and find out what their needs are for healing, and to pray with them, to heal them, to direct them to this pool so that they too can be cleansed of sin and become light for the world. Because Jesus says he's the light of the world. And when we are baptized into his life, we become light as well. So we lived in darkness, we were darkness, and now we're light. Now it's interesting that because we are a single parish made out of three parishes, we have a huge geographic area that we're supposed to be attending to. We're responsible for every single person in this big geographical area. And it stretches all the way over to RIT, that's in our parish, and Marketplace Mall is part of our parish. Now, we probably don't think of, well, so people go there and buy stuff. And, of course, now they're developing the U of R, an orthopedic outpatient center. There'll be hundreds. It's already open. Thousands of people coming there every day looking for healing. Oh, we're supposed to say, oh, healing. Okay, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be there to help people find healing. And it's maybe a mile away from here, but that's in our geographic area. We're responsible. So what do we do to encounter people out there? What do we need to do to come up with to find a way of not staying here, expecting people to somehow know about who we are? Well, we don't even have a good sign out front, right? And you really can't see the crosses from the street. Doesn't look like a church, looks like maybe a school or a business. But how are people going to come here? So that we can direct them to our pool of Siloam, so that people want to be baptized and be part of the kingdom of God. But that's what we're supposed to be thinking. How do we do that? How do we encounter people? And especially the people coming in to Marketplace Mall for medical services, they're going to be all over the place. People who are confident things will go well. People are very scared and frightened. People who are thinking, will I ever walk again? And because we have Jesus Christ in our lives, the one who heals, we have this knowledge, this spirit that can help them through their suffering. And that's what we're called to do. That's what Jesus did. And he didn't care if the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, no, you're not supposed to do that on a Sabbath. Do it on any other day, but not the Sabbath. Jesus didn't care about that. He cared about the people who needed the healing. And so he went out and did it. And so there again, are we more afraid of what people are going to say? Why are you doing that? You shouldn't be doing that. Or are we going to say, well, we got to do it. We got to do it. Because we have Jesus Christ who says, go out there and do it. What does Jesus say before he ascends to the Father? He says, go out into the whole world, proclaim the gospel, and baptize. So literally bring people to the pool, the healing pool, the baptismal pool, and baptize them. That's what he says. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so when we don't see many people being baptized, then we have to say, well, maybe we're simply not doing what we're called to do. But there's the challenge. You know, we hear it in the scriptures again and again. Jesus did great things because he was on fire with the faith. And the same with the apostles. They went out two by two to exorcise demons, to cure people. And the 72 disciples that were sent out two by two by Jesus, they were sent out just as Jesus went out to find people in need and cure them and save them so that they too can be part of the kingdom of God. Now, we have far more information than they ever had. And yet, how well are we doing in terms of going out and bringing the healing word to God, to the people of God? How well are we doing in being convinced that we can heal? How well are we doing in terms of being committed to our faith and wanting people to be baptized, to teach them, to walk with them, to accompany them through whatever it is they need in their lives so that they will see Jesus Christ in our actions? That's the challenge, as always, that we've always had. And they're out there. The people are out there. I think it was a statistic within 5 miles radius of Marketplace Mall, there's 166,000 people. Wow. We can't get a few of them in here? But, again, we have to be committed and faithful and trusting and, you know, kick ourselves. Get out there. Because there are people who are suffering and are in need of the healing word of God. So that's all of us. You know, you do not have to have a degree in theology. In fact, I would say it's probably better that you don't. That you just have this gutsy belief in the power of Jesus Christ. That's what we need. I don't care if you can talk about Thomas Aquinas. I can't. But we can talk about Jesus. We can talk about his desire for all of us to be healed, to be whole, to have sight, to be light in the world, so that more people will come to know the Lord, will know where to come to find out more about the Lord. But for that to happen, we have got to go out and find those people. You don't have to find them. We know where they are. And engage with them so that they know the good news of salvation. So this coming week, just think about that. Ask yourself, do I really have a desire for the salvation of others? And when you think of it, Jesus raised Lazarus. He raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And he said, we can do greater things than that. Well, what's greater than raising someone from the dead? Saving them from hell. That's greater. And we have that ability. We have that power to go out and engage so people will be saved. So ask yourself, do I really have that urgency? Do I have that zeal to save souls? Do I want everybody to be saved? What am I willing to let go of? What am I willing to do in order to be someone who takes Jesus out into the world? And what might I do concretely in order to engage with people? Just find out who they are, what their needs are, and then talk to them about what we believe in terms of the saving word of God. So we have all the power in the universe. We have God in our lives, but it's a question of our acting on it. Do we really believe it? Do we really trust in the Lord? Do we have a deep-seated faith? And what are we willing to do in order to go forth just as Jesus did, so we're not doing anything different, to go forth just as Jesus did and encounter people, invite them to bathe in the pool, which we call the baptismal font, but also to come into a church where we believe in healing of all kinds, because that's what God wants. So again, think of those questions as you go forth, especially the one, do we really desire the salvation of others? And what are we willing to do to go out and share that knowledge that we have, that faith that we have, so that others too will know where to come for healing and will in turn go out and bring other people into the church for healing? That's our call. We all have the ability to do that. So let's pray that we'll have that desire, that zeal, and that urgency to bring more people into the kingdom of God.